Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and you are about to be graced by one of the most interesting brothers inside the United States, Dr. Lyle Africa. We have him here on our live feed, and we're going to go directly in the broadcast. We have to apologize to you. I've been a couple of moments late here getting started, and what we're going to do is we're going to deal directly with some immediate problems that are facing us today, and we're going to start with diabetes, and we want to understand what it is and how to deal with it, and so I'm going to go ahead and cut this thing loose. But before I do, I want to say that we're giving away our articles as usual, the 14th Amendment Exposed and the Commerce Game, and whether or not you even own your own children. And the way you get that is send me a little quick note to tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, and I'll send that to you as an email attachment. If you are on Facebook, send me a friend request, and I'll go ahead and grant that, and that'll give you access to my wall and other areas in there that I am. Tahaka's Moorish American Group, where we teach by video, and, of course, Tahaka's Institute, where we place printed materials and documents and stuff for your use against the Sheriff's Department, bill collectors, state officials, and so on and so forth. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get on into the broadcast, and I'm asking.
We're here today with world-renowned nutritionist and health practitioner Lyle Africa, and today we're going to talk about diabetes, and I have diabetes, so I certainly want to hear what he has to say. Good afternoon, Dr. Africa. How
are you? Afternoon, Bob. Nice being with you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. We were talking about diabetes. My first question to you is, what is diabetes?
Diabetes mellitus is a pancreas disease, and it's one of the many diseases that associated with the pancreas. Also, there's high blood pressure, glaucoma, cataracts, arthritis, infertility, senile dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Those are the other diseases caused by a weak pancreas or a diseased pancreas. And the one you're talking about is diabetes mellitus, which is commonly associated with synthetic carbohydrates such as white sugar, bleached white flour, white potatoes, things like that, concentrated sweeteners, which can be honey as well. Any concentrated sweetener will stress the pancreas, resulting in diabetes mellitus.
Okay, I heard you say in one of your other speaking lectures that we didn't have diabetes, particularly African Americans, before we came to this country. Could you expound on that a little bit?
Well, we weren't eating the refined carbohydrates. Sugar is one of them. White rice, bleached white flour, white grits are the others. And we weren't eating those refined carbohydrates at such a high rate. The pancreas is trying to get rid of this, help your body break down this carbohydrate and make sugar out of it. And so we associate that with insulin, which is a hormone made by the pancreas, and glucagon, which is another hormone. One of them brings the sugar rate down, which is insulin, and the other one, glucagon, brings the sugar rate up. So we're constantly causing the pancreas to be stressed by eating a whole lot of carbohydrates, which are mostly processed, and causing the pancreas to bring that sugar level down by squirting out this hormone called insulin. And then the body eventually loses the ability to produce this insulin or recognize the sugar when it's in the blood, and we call it diabetes mellitus. And it's a concentrated sweetener that's causing the problem of some sort. It could be honey, molasses, maple syrup, white sugar, dyed white sugar, which we call brown sugar, turbinado sugar, raw sugar, all of those are white sugar, corn syrup, dextrose, maltose, all those concentrated sweeteners attack the pancreas, and the pancreas is not able to deal with concentrated sweetness, so it collapses and you have diabetes mellitus.
Okay, but isn't that basically all that's on the market? Almost everything we have on the market has sugar in it. So how do we deal with that?
Well, you could say the same thing about alcohol. There's a lot of alcohol on the market, beer, wine, brandy. How do we deal with it? We don't drink. So the thing is to get away from the white sugar, get away from the concentrated sweeteners. And so we can do that step by step. Which is going from white sugar to honey and then going to a sweet leaf called stevia, but eventually getting away from the white sugar is the objective.
Okay. What's really wrong with the white sugar? Why is it so bad?
Well, it starves the body. It's called a dehydrating food and a starvation food. In order to make the white sugar, you have to take out all the fiber, all the vitamins and minerals, and all the water that will come with the sugar cane or sugar beets. And when you eat the white sugar, the body says, I'm going to put back the water, the vitamins and minerals, and bran. It was with the sugar cane before it was processed, so it strips the body of its moisture. And it causes the moisture to come out of the nerves, and the nerves begin to fall apart and get damaged, and it ended up with senile dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, nerve damage-related diseases, multiple sclerosis, lupus, all those are caused by the sugar pulling the moisture out of the nerves, or it pulls it out of the joints and muscles, ended up with rheumatism, arthritis. It pulls the moisture out of the eyes, dries the eyes, and the nerves in the eyes fall apart, and you end up being blind. And diabetes is leading to blindness in black people. And it also taxes the kidneys because all the sugar goes through the kidneys. And the kidneys try to dilute this concentrated sweetness, and it loses its ability to dilute, and you end up on dialysis. All of this is caused by white sugar.
And you say this can be avoided, right? By just changing your diet a little bit?
Yes. By changing your diet, getting away from concentrated sweeteners, which can be maple syrup, honey, malt sugar, brown sugar, turbinado sugar. I'm talking about concentrated sweeteners. Candy bars, sodas, those are concentrated sweeteners.
Well, I should be in pretty good shape then, because I use NutraSweet when I'm in my cereal and stuff.
NutraSweet causes nerve damage. So you're looking at Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, you're probably too senile to know you're eating sugar after a while. So you're looking at nerve damage, and you don't want that. It causes mood swings, causes rage and violence. You don't want to go there with the NutraSweet. It's a poison.
It is?
Yeah.
What about Sweet Low?
Aspartame. It has alcohol in it. It dries up the nervous system and it causes neurological damage. So you don't want to damage your nerves, which means you're damaging your brain. The sugar causes the brain to lose oxygen. White sugar, brown sugar, turbinado sugar, maple syrup. It takes the oxygen away from the brain cells, which causes them to die. You don't want to rob your body of nutrients. You eat to give your body nutrients. And when you eat in a concentrated sweetener, such as white sugar, you're robbing your body of nutrients, defeating the whole purpose of eating.
So this nerve damage, I can tell because I do have some in my feet. Why do I have this neuropathy, I guess you call it, in my feet?
Neuropathy is a nice word for nerve damage. So we said that the sugar has pulled the moisture out of the nerves and the nerves fray and fall apart. The sugar pulls the nerves out of the veins and arteries, which we call the vascular system. And that causes you to have decreased circulation to your feet and leg, and eventually your foot will be amputated and your leg will be amputated because the sugar is causing the vascular system loses moisture.
Start 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If all these concentrated sugars are so bad for the body, why are they on the market? Why doesn't the government stop it?
Well, as you know, we have polluted air. Why doesn't the government stop that? I mean, these are questions that I don't think I have the answer to. All I know is white sugar is bad for you, and white sugar is used to hide the off flavors, the chemicals in food when they spray it with herbicides and pesticides. The best way to hide those off flavors is with sugar. The best way to have your product and have people constantly buy it is to put sugar on it to make people addicted to that product. That's why they put sugar on French fries, spray it on tobacco, put sugar in medicine, put sugar in mustard, ketchup, mayonnaise. They put sugar in all products to cause it to be addicting so people constantly buy the product and constantly make money for these food companies.
So you are a naturopathic doctor, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And in America, we practice primarily allopathic medicine, right?
Yes,
which is basically drugs and surgery, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What is the difference between allopathic and naturopathic medicine?
Well, allopathic medicine believes the contrary cures the opposite. That's their motto. They believe in order to make the body healthy, you have to make the body sick. So they will give you something that makes your body sick, such as a drug. And there are more side effects listed for the drugs than positive effects. So if you just do the mathematics, you find out you're in a losing situation because there are more side effects to a drug than positive effects. So they use poisons, and the poisons create poisonous effects, which they call side effects. And naturopathic medicine, which is non-invasive medicine, we use plants such as herbs or supplements such as vitamins and minerals and amino acids. We use things to nourish the body so the body can make its own decision about how it's going to maintain wellness.
That's a very interesting point. Well, you know, I've been going to my doctor, diabetic doctor, for 20 years now. So what do you think of that?
I think that if the doctor was doing his job, you wouldn't be going for 20 years. You should have been finished with him at least a couple of years. Insulin does not stop diabetes. Insulin is a salt. And as a salt, it gets stored in the muscles and tissue, which makes it very damaging. Insulin is utilized when your body is what we call alkaline. We call this a pH kind of measurement. So insulin use increases when you're alkaline and decreases when you're acid. So it has a cycle. You just can't take the same amount of insulin in hot weather as you would take in cold weather because your body's changing to alkaline and acid. So none of this is explained to people on insulin. It's not explained that insulin is a salt. And as a salt, it pulls moisture out of the tissue. That's what salt does. It preserves meat by pulling the moisture out. So when you take an insulin, which is a salt, it's pulling moisture out of your veins and arteries, which is what you're trying to stop from happening. That's why you can still have your leg amputated and still go blind on insulin.
Okay, that was Dr. Lyle O'Africa in the first three segments describing diabetes. And the reason we chose this subject in the beginning because there's so many of us out here in this country that are suffering from this particular ailment. And it always leads, if it's not treated, if you don't understand and you don't do the research and you don't begin to deal with the situation, you have a very, very serious problem. I'm going to go directly now to Dr. Lila O'Africa's book, African Holistic Health, revised and expanded edition. And he states here in his very introduction, something that is very important for us to understand. And we're going to go back to the very beginning and understand how the people who own the medical professions and who control the food industries, how they formulate the education and what they know and what they are using, that we, most of us, people of African descent, have so much faith in. So if we get this information here, we will know what we're up against based on their particular teachings and understanding versus our ancient forefathers and what they have taught us. And it states here, this axiom is the foundation upon which the original African medical system was founded. Let us explore two major systems of healing before we investigate what this axiom really implies. The African healing arts were extraordinary because all physical, mental, and spiritual phenomena were studied, understood, practiced, and taught to its entire society, whereas the European healing arts were kept secret from the European masses and applied as the European physicians saw fit. Legal statuses had to be erected within the European civil structure to ensure and maintain an ethic and medical standards. Europeans studied, practiced, and taught their healing arts only to physicians and primarily from the mundane aspects. Their understanding of science and nature was only understood through their perception of their basic physical senses, vision, taste, touch, hearing, and smell. Now I'm going to stop there, and we're going to go directly into the next segment of Dr. Lila O'Africa.
And learn the usual dumbed-down information, watered down, and received my diploma in naturopathic medicine there. And basically, I am in a field of alternative medicine, as they call it today. There's the allopathic medicine, homeopathic medicine, and naturopathic medicine, and I'm in naturopathic medicine. That's non-invasive. We don't use poisons. We use non-invasive therapies, acupuncture, massage, hypnosis, nothing to hurt the body to help heal. And I focus on ethnomedicine, that is treating black people, because our biochemistry is different, so we think differently, metabolize food differently, so we have to be treated differently. But I did work for 15 years as a psychotherapist doing therapy on white people in the military and private institutions. So when I talk about how they are structured psychologically, I'm not talking from theory. I'm talking from what I did for 15 years under supervision with psychiatrists in the military, research institutions. I'm not talking theory here. I sat down with folks 8 hours a day, hypnosis, therapy, and all kind of methods, trying to help white people be white racists. That was my job.
Wow.
Still there?
Yes, sir. I was. I didn't know that information about you, but wow. I might have a question about that as we proceed.
No problem.
Okay. I want to hop right into it so we can cover as much material as possible. This program, the context of white supremacy, I have unfortunately concluded that we are in a global system of racism, white supremacy. I use those two terms as synonyms. I use the same definition for both terms. That definition is as follows: a global system of people who classify themselves as white and are dedicated to abusing and or subjugating everyone in the known universe whom they classify as not white. Do you believe that such a system exists, and do you think that definition is accurate?
It's accurate. It's not as complicated as people seem to think it is. White domination, supported by a myth called white supremacy, and defended by a psychological system called white racism. First, you have white domination. And out of that system of white domination is a belief, which is a myth, of white supremacy. And that's defended by white racism. We have to go back to see how this whole thing was structured. They don't sit down and deliberately draw diagrams to say they're white supremacists. You have to understand where they come from. If you're trying to help someone find you, and you're in Brooklyn, New York, you say where you're coming from, and you can give them directions. So we have to study cave civilization, which we don't study. We study Greek civilization, which has nothing to do with Europeans. The Greeks didn't like the Europeans, call them barbarians, call them Brits, where you get the word Britain from. They did not deal with the Europeans. They were too barbaric. So they're coming out of the cave system. So you have to understand the law of the caves, understand the Europeans, and stop reading about Greeks and Romans. They have nothing to do with the Europeans, nothing. So the law of the caves is structured differently. It's a bait-and-switch kind of thing. It's not a civilization. It's called a pride. It's like a lion has a pride. They don't have a civilization. And the Europeans have a pride. So if you study in civilization to understand Europeans, you won't understand Europeans. So we have to go back from where these people are coming from. So you have to go and study them like they study us. They go to the pyramids, they read up. They go to where we came from to study us. But we don't go to where they came from, the caves, and study them. So I went to their caves. I went to the caves in England, Germany. I went to their caves and studied them, just like they go to the pyramids and study us. So I come from a different perspective here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you want to understand these people, go study where they came from, just like they do with us. And you can't fight the system because you have to understand who you're fighting. You can't get in the ring with Muhammad Ali blindfold. They don't have that kind of civilizational structure. They have a pride, which is totally different from civilization. Going back to the original language, which they did not have, they have a stolen language trying to say African words and ended up with Latin. They don't have a language. What they have, they've always stolen. Their language, their religion, their clothing, their buildings, their structures, their mythology, their courage, everything they had, they stole. So why study what they stole? Study them. And that was my conclusion when I went to school. I said, I'm going to where the thief came from and study where he came from. And that's why I went to school in Europe as opposed to Africa, because I'm trying to deal with these people here. And so I would agree with the whole definition of what you're saying, but I would add the historical perspective to it and understanding to know about them, go from where they came from.
Wow. What could you share a little bit? You talked about the law of the cave. Could you share a little bit about what you studied with regards to how they conducted themselves in the caves of Europe?
The thing is that you can read about it in Plato's Seven Books of the Republic now. He wrote about it himself, and a couple of other white historians wrote about their civilization, but they only gave about a paragraph or so. So Plato wrote pretty good on it. He said, living in caves distorts your perception of reality forever. You're living in the shadows of life, what life reflects us, and shadows are distorted. Sometimes they're long, sometimes they're tall, sometimes they're fat. So just living in shadows causes you to distort the reality of seeing a person. And he said that effect distorts your vision of how you perceive reality and how you interpret reality forever. And that's what I'm talking about. The slave civilization and the cave civilization, so black folks suffer from post-traumatic slavery trauma, and white folks suffer from post-traumatic cave trauma. Just as we've been traumatized by slavery, they have been traumatized by caves. So they have post-traumatic cave trauma, and it's not going away because they don't recognize it as a disease, and they're not going to be treated for it. Most black people have not been treated for post-traumatic slavery trauma today, and white people have not been treated for post-traumatic cave trauma today. So you got a bunch of sick people dealing with a bunch of sick people looking for a healthy conclusion. It's not going to happen. So the slaves, the cave civilization, you have the ones that live even to the ground, which is like living like Oprah. Then you have caves below the caves that go about three caves deep. It's still in Providence, Rhode Island. You can still go in the caves. You can go in caves in many places, but they haven't bricked up in Europe. So if you go in there, they're going to lock you up. But you go, it's about three caves deep. You got the first floor, second floor, that sort of thing. Now then, as hunters of meat, as you would say, when you hunt, you either got to bait your trap or create a trap. So the system is to create a bait. And the bait is you want white. You want a white degree. You want a white money. You want a white advancement. You want to be somebody in white civilization. That's the bait. But the bait only gets you into the culture. The objective is to make you Europeanized, to give you European culture. The bait is money. The bait is homosexuality. The bait draws you in. But once you're in, you get acculturated. So you're looking at the trap instead of looking what the purpose of the trap is. The purpose of the trap is to Europeanize your mind. And once that's done, they don't have to control you. You control yourself.
Wow. I definitely want to get more to how they look to colonize the mind. But my co-host is here, Justice. If you have some questions you would like to ask Dr. Africa, your line is open. Please go right ahead.
Hello, Dr. Africa.
Hello.
How did you get your name?
My name? Let me see. That's 35 years ago. Let me think about this one. I was studying herbs. And I said, I want to go to Africa and study herbs. And I knew of a great herbal teacher there. And I was going to go on my way to go about in a couple of months. And I was in a health food store picking up some herbs. And there was a guy from Nigeria somewhere in there. And then he started talking. I talked to him. I said, yeah, man, I'm on my way to Africa. I'm going to study herbology with this great teacher. He said, that's my father. I said, okay. He said, well, why go over there with the same problems to destroy Africa? Maybe you ought to get rid of those problems and don't bring them to Africa. I said, that makes sense. He said, study with me and I'll help you out so you won't bring to Africa the very problems that are destroying Africa. So I studied with him for a couple of years, and I became Laila Africa out of that. I was some kind of priest kind of modality, something like that, studying all types of African civilizations and that sort of thing. But I was also a psychotherapist at a medical hospital at the time, so I knew how to deconstruct behavior. So I saw a little bit more in what he was saying and what he was saying. So that's what happened. I kind of like graduated from the course, and it comes to you because I had to go in the forest blindfold and pick out herbs. So after a while, the herbs come to you, and the name comes to you from the plants and from the earth. So I came from an earth-plant system of indoctrination or rites of passage, as you would call it today. And that's how my name came.
How did you become informed about racism, white supremacy?
Informed? I don't think I was informed. I was mostly a victim of it. Jeez. I come out of the South, you know, and if I walked on the sidewalk on the street and a white person was coming, I had to walk and get in the street and get off the sidewalk. I come out of the whole subjugation of the thing and lynchings of black people and all that kind of stuff. I come out of that poor understanding of the situation. It wasn't a textbook thing. Lynchings and all kind of stuff going on around me at the time, aside from being spit on and all that kind of stuff. I guess I backed into it. And then I heard, let me see, Neely Fuller was active then, and Francis Crest Wilson, Dr. Wilson, and all that sort of thing. So I was around a lot of people at that time. That was during that time. And a lot of people I socialized with the new Ed, they're gone. Stokely Carmichael, I used to take care of him, and H.R.F. Brown, I used to take care of him and his wife. So I was around a... It was a different atmosphere for me. So a lot of it was reading, and a lot of it was personal experience. But we didn't name it anything called white supremacy. We just called it the white man. And we called it the white man, and we called them what they were. We said their nose was so big that when they talk, it sounded like they're honking a horn. So we called them honkies. And because the slave master used to crack the whip on us, we used to call them crackers. So we call white supremacy crackers and hunkies and the white man. We just didn't have that formal label that you have today.
Do you believe there is a system of racism, white supremacy?
I can believe there's snow in the sky. Belief means nothing in this world. Facts which rule the world, but belief is the thing that drives facts out of the door. So what I believe is one thing, but I've been a victim of it. I don't have to believe it. I was experiencing it in a war. These white people were racist during a war against me and other blacks. I've been in two wars with these people. I don't believe it. I've lived this thing. I've seen them do it. I've seen them lynch people in the shower when I was in the military. And that's no belief. This is my life.
Why and how did you want to become a lecturer and author?
My dear, I didn't want to become a lecturer or author or Dr. Africa. I wanted to become a fireman. I was a little boy. I wanted to become what little boys want. And I thought Tarzan was a great man, hung on a tree and swung through the jungle and scared every black person, rhinoceros and elephant and everything. I was a little boy, and what I wanted was what little boys want. I redefined myself as I grew up, I guess you would say it that way. What happened was I just wanted to be healthy. So I started reading books on health and going to seminars that were all white in Europe and Italy and other countries. And I just wanted to be healthy, and that's what it was all about for me. And I was in the South African Fruitarian Society. That's before Mandela. And we had meetings, and the guy at one of the seminars, he said, you can go to school for free since you were the only black in the organization. We'll take care of everything. So I said, okay. So I went to school for free and got my naturopath, but I wasn't.
Okay, that concludes our first segment, our fourth segment involving Dr. Africa. And he's giving us some background information and answering some very, very important questions. And we chose this because all too often I do broadcasts and I talk to people about health and the importance of juicing and putting raw fruits and vegetation in the body. And that gives a full breakdown. But then I noticed that what we have been liking is the background information on a lot of things that I was talking about. So what we're doing tonight is we're dealing with this thing from a whole different perspective, and we're trying to give you as much background information as we can so that you can have a complete and thorough understanding of what's going on inside the United States involving the food industry, the medical profession, the pharmaceutical industry, our health, the cures and holistic healing, and the whole ball of wax. I would also like to add that for those of you who are just tuning in, if we have built one of the most comprehensive libraries inside the United States, in order to access that, you simply contact me by telephone at area code 904-303-9061, and we can try to get that to you. Also, if you have, if you're on Twitter, if you're on MySpace, or Black Planet, or Dig, or Stumble, I'm in all of these places. And as well as Facebook, if you got an ad in Facebook, if you send me a free friend request, I'll go ahead and grant that. And then you can have access to recap on the information that we're putting out there for your education and in an attempt to save our people from what's going on inside the earth, on the earth involving our nationality, our health, and everything else that affects people of African descent. And so if you would continue to listen, we'll continue to broadcast.
We don't have enough doctors to save this race. There are more African brothers and sisters born on the continent of Africa, medical doctors in America, than on the continent of Africa. Africa does not have the medical doctors because they've been usurped. We don't have enough healers to heal this race. So therefore, we're going to have a lot of casualties. So some people, you got to say that's a casualty. Sometimes when a car gets so destroyed, you have to say it's a total loss. You have to make these judgment calls, you see. So So some people can be saved. I will admit, yeah, that some can be saved. That's true. But I think our casualty rate's going to be very high. And in a war, when it requires too much manpower to help someone else, we leave them. And we keep moving forward because you've got to move forward. So we just leave the brother there. Shoot him, take him out of his pain, and we keep moving. That's what we did in a war. And I don't think that we have intelligence about a war. We just have the television version of it. You have to, in a war, you have to destroy women, particularly a European war. All wars in European culture are based on the ability to destroy women. The objective of the war is to destroy the means of production. So you bomb the factory. And who works in the factory? Women. So they just tell you this stuff on TV, but it's not clicking in that the Europeans win wars by killing women. That's what we do. We bomb factories, and women and children work there. The soldiers that don't work in the factory. So when we're looking at the Europeans' definition of war, there are many other definitions of war and how wars were fought. But we are looking at the colonization of thought, the colonization of emotion, the colonization of the concept of God. Dr. Henry Clark used to talk on this. The Europeans have colonized the concept of God and made God into a man. That's not in our culture. They've colonized how we dream. So if you want to find out how you dream, you got to go buy a white dream book. They have colonized our concept of dreams. The only way to get out of this thing is to get out of this thing. Just have to step away, draw a line, and say, I'm not crossing this line. Because the rest of this work has to be done by other people, school teachers, dancers, singers. Everyone has to go into a certain extended modality for us to get out of it. And that's somebody else's job. To make that singing African-centered, to make the dance movement African-centered, instead of just moving your hips for some sexual reason. Movement of dance is supposed to express some kind of philosophical or spiritual concept. If you're moving your hips and you cannot explain it, then stop moving your hips. That's what we're dancing. It has to be African-centered. So we need a lot of healers, dancing healers, language healers, and we don't have them. So we're going to have a lot of casualties. So some people, yeah, I can help. And other healers can help, but other ones, let it go. Scratch up a casualty of war.
Context of white supremacy. I want to make sure I don't forget. You said that you worked and did therapy in the military with white people. Can you share some of what you learned during therapy for these, you know, white people? You said helping them to be racist.
Oh, of course. That was my job. Hell, I had to pay my mortgage. You know what I mean? Let's see. I work at a private psychiatric institution in Pennsylvania, research institution for a psychiatric corporation. I did that for a few years. And then I went to addictive services and work as a therapist in women's prison and men's prison. And then I was a psychotherapist in the military, and then I became a nurse. I did that for about 4 years. And I ran marathon groups. And I used to hypnotize groups and getting into their shell layers of their personality, getting into their inner self and all that sort of thing. And the objective is to embed mistrust. You cannot trust yourself. You cannot trust your mind in psychology because you got this animal mind, and you have to control this animal mind of yours. So you cannot trust your mind because you're coming out of a cave and you cannot trust nature. Weather has betrayed you, has frozen the water, it has destroyed the crops, so you cannot trust nature to provide for you. So you're coming out of a psychological construct about mistrust. You cannot trust your mind. Your subconscious mind will seep through and control your conscious mind. So you can't control, you got to be aware of this deceitful demon called your subconscious mind that's coming at you. You have to mistrust everything. That's why they have inspectors. They inspect bikes, they inspect toothpicks, they inspect houses, they inspect nails. They don't trust each other. Those inspections are because there's a mistrust in European culture. You see? But we don't see it that way. So they're inspectors. Yeah, well, if you entrust this man to do a good job with the airplane, why do you have inspectors for airplanes and bicycles and cars? There's a deep mistrust because nature could not be trusted. So you never trust anything. You don't even trust your mind. That's the way you got to drive when you're going into psychology, white psychology. You got to go into this deep mistrust. So So all I did was just embed the mistrust even further in them to make them a better white person. That's all. Don't trust your wife. She may go out and sneak and give some sex to somebody. So always be suspicious, you know? Don't trust them. Another woman may take your husband. Don't trust them, you know? That kind of thing. So all I did was instill that ability to mistrust themselves and mistrust nature and mistrust black people because we're too close to nature, so you can't trust them. That's all I did. And I made them happy.
Wow. Do you see these same elements in the mythology and fairy tales of white people? This mistrust?
Of course, it's all over the place. You see, when you're looking at white fairy tales, you're looking at the abandoned child syndrome. Because all of these children were abandoned. Oedipus was abandoned. Chrysler was abandoned. Cadillac was abandoned. Superman was abandoned. Moses was abandoned. Jesus was abandoned. You're always looking at abandoned child. That's the abandoned child syndrome because nature has abandoned the European and left them in these icy caves with no food, you see? Nature has abandoned them. God has abandoned them. So they always have abandoned child theme, but you're not seeing it as abandoned child. You're seeing it as some Jack and Jill and all these abandoned children, Hansel and Gretel, and they abandoned. Pinocchio, Superman was abandoned and sent off to some planet called Earth with some Krypton or some crap. I don't know, but he was abandoned. Christ was abandoned. Cadillac was abandoned. Moses was abandoned. Jesus was abandoned. There's always abandoned child themes. You can't miss it. And you've gone back to nature has abandoned them. So they have a mistrust for nature, a mistrust for anyone close to nature or God or spirituality or being a human being. So they have to mistrust black people. It's coming out of the law of the cave, where they came from.
Wow. I noted I was watching one of the lectures that you did on these fairy tales, and when I was watching Snow White, and I said, wow, this is just the resurrection story in the Bible. I'd never thought of the similarities before. You also talked about how these fairy tales, they desensitize you to violence, cannibalism, harm to children. Can you share a little bit of that with our listeners?
It's some people say that's really deep, that's really heavy, but it's not all that. It's sort of like you have these sirens and things going off in the neighborhood, the siren of a police car or ambulance or fire engine. But originally, they set that siren sound to a baby crying, because that's when an adult gets alert when they hear baby crying. So the sirens go, going through the neighborhood crying, which desensitize you to care for your own children. And eventually you let the state care for them. You see, it desensitizes your ability to care. But we don't see it that way. We're just walking around oblivious to this onslaught of white supremacy attack, which is fueled on white domination. The objective is to dominate. As Dr. Henry Clark would say, white people don't play fractions. They want the whole thing. They didn't want a piece of America. They want the whole damn thing. They don't want a piece of Africa. They want the whole thing because Europeans don't play fractions. You couldn't afford that. You couldn't afford to share in a cave situation. It would get overcrowded and take away your food supply. So you had to have the whole cave. So you bond with your brother's wife, and that caused a clan. Then you bond with your clan bonds with another clan, forming a tribe. Then your tribe bond and forms a kingdom. Then your kingdom forms and forms an empire. But the first thing is, you are building a clan or structure, a clan, to protect your domain because you know that these people will try to steal it from you. So you're building a civilization based on stealing and deception. That's the whole foundation of the cave civilization. You can't trust these other cave people. They take your stuff. They take your food. That's the nature of how they are. Not an evil thing how they are, that's just how they are. And once you understand what a rat is or a dog is, then you're able to defend yourself and protect yourself. You don't say a dog is evil. You don't say a rat is evil. Once you understand it, then you're able to protect yourself. So you have to understand the European. You can't cure them. You're black. The only person who can cure a European is a European. Only person who can protect a rat is another rat. You cannot cure a European by talking about white supremacy, white racism. The only person who can cure a European is a European. Best thing to do is understand the nature of them and get the hell away from it as far as you can.
Wow. Would you say it's accurate for a black person giving their child these European fairy tales that is a form of abuse and or neglect?
That's a form of destruction. You never get that child back. In some degree, they're damaged forever. Either emotionally, spiritually, sexually, to some degree, they're damaged forever. And because we're unaware of it, we do it. It's like black folks walking around when these Europeans are having their spiritual ritual. They put a candle out, and then they cut out the a pumpkin, and then they put a god next to it, a store god, and you don't see it as an altar. And they throw away the pumpkin, because that's altar food. That's altar fruit. They have an altar in front of their damn house going through a spiritual ritual, and you call it Halloween. That thing is a spiritual ritual, coming out of the Saturnalian ritual, coming out of the caves. That's why all the Europeans practice Halloween. You call it Halloween, it's spiritual. You know what an altar is. You know what candles are. You know what pumpkins is, fruit on an altar is. You know, don't you see what they're doing? They all practicing this spiritual ritual and with chants and songs and symbolism of corn candy, fertility, to grow more of what they are. But you're walking around, you don't know. Just like you tell on a fairy tale to your child, you don't know. But once you know, you got to say, no, I can't do this. This is European. This is going to make my child into a monster in some form.
Context of white supremacy. Please visit Dr. Africa's website. It is www.drafrica.com, and that's drafrica.com. So www.drafrica.com. I wanted to make sure I got kind of a sample of what you are going to discuss February 19th and February 20th at the lecture in Brooklyn. It's featuring topics on holistic health, sex, love, and relationships. What exactly do you plan to touch on?
Well, I plan to just talk about how to approach the body as an instrument, a holy temple, and how you don't want to pollute your body. You don't want to desecrate a holy image, which we call the 42 Declarations of Innocence and Mott and things of that sort. So we're looking at nature to help us with our nature. So we eat food that is still in their natural state to keep us in our natural state. So we don't eat processed food, bleached white flour, white sugar, honey, salt, and all those things that are processed. We want to eat things that are natural to keep us in our natural state and help my people understand some basic tenets about how to diagnose themselves or to find out what's wrong with them so they can get to the right solution. And primarily I'm into my helping side because I'm a helper. Psychotherapist, I'm a helper. That's what I've been doing for, I don't know, 40 years, I guess, helping people. And I just want to help people to take control of their health and be more healthy and more aware when they're doing something wrong. So it's some basic techniques that I'll be teaching about how to diagnose themselves and how to find the right remedy to whatever their health condition is, be it arthritis or fibroid tumors or prostate disease, just guiding people through this jungle. There's a whole lot of stuff out there about health is totally incorrect, and oftentimes we think it's correct. We actually think there's something called an antioxidant when that's a theory. We also think it's something called gravity when that's a theory.
Okay, that's Dr. Africa giving us some background information that's very, very important because all too often we hear a lot of health experts. They will tell us, okay, well, you have this, and this is how we get rid of that, and you have this illness, and this is how you treat that. But what we need to do is find out what is the primary basic cause of the overall conditions affecting people of African descent. Give us the historical background information, and this is what we're dealing with. And we're also dealing with our eating habits and the diseases and the cures and all of this stuff as well. But tonight we're focusing on the background information and causes and as well, which is very, very important because all too often we don't ask these questions. We don't look and say, well, why is it that every time I go to the beach, the only people that I see in the majority are people that are overweight and out of shape. When it's back in the 40s and 50s, we've seen people very, very shapely. The men were very muscular, very, very healthy. But now we see discoloration of skin. We see overweight. We see midriff bulge. And we're acting as though these things are normal. So let's get to the very root and foundation of these problems and get some overall background in our historical and as well as historical information so that we can have more power in dealing with our current situations. And I'm going to continue. For those of you who just tuned in, we're listening to Dr. Lyella or Africa as he explains the overall health conditions and stuff that as it exists inside the United States of America and as it affects us today.
We also think it's, we into all these theories, beliefs of the Europeans, and we take them as facts. We think it's white people came from black people. That's that theory of evolution written in Diop's book and every scientist's book. It's a belief. These are theories, and belief is more powerful than facts. So black folks go for it. But these beliefs will get you in trouble. So I'm saying you have to see what it is and treat what it is. That's what Murray Seacole said, the Caribbean who put Florence Nightingale, the black lady. Said, you see what it is and you treat what it is. And that's how she taught Florence Nightingale, who died of syphilis for helping the soldiers out in her own way, whatever she did, the wretched person that she was. Nonetheless, I'm just saying I'm teaching you how to see the body through African eyes, see what it is so you can treat what it is. Never treat a designer name like lupus and Alzheimer's and Parkinson. Those are designer names. There's something wrong with the nervous system. We treat the nervous system. And so I'm trying to teach people just to capture their body again and empower themselves.
Wow. And when you say holistic health, that means?
And that means that in my world, in our black world, as they call it today, we believe we come from the spirit world, and that manifests mind, and mind manifests body. That's my belief. Spirit, mind, and body. The Europeans believe that what you can see and measure, that's what I want to control, so they go body, mind, spirit. That's European. We say spirit, mind, body. That's African-centered. So I'm teaching that just a way to reorganize your thinking, to reorganize the way you approach life so you can get to the right solution. Because the first step is to call things by the right name to get the right solution. And that's what I'm going back to, just recapture that sort of understanding. And as we get into holistic sex and understanding, I'm getting into the basic structure of a civilization and how a marriage or a relationship reflects the cultures and helps to feed the culture. And the purpose of the relationship is to honor God and the person. I'm going back to that way, which we looked at each other instead of looking at each other behind, which comes out of Greek culture. So we're looking at each other like we're white people. And we expect a black solution in our relationship when we approach it white. So I'm just going back and say, look, we got to restructure all these things that were taken from us when they took away our culture, our language, our clothing, our shoes, our songs. We got to go back and Sankofa this so we can get to the right solution. But my objective is to help people. But people hear me talking about history and psychology and they get this wrong thing. My whole objective is to help black people. I'm not into helping white people. I'm into helping black people. So we can be healthier because we got a debt that we have to pay to those people that died in those cane fields and those cotton fields and on those rice plantations. We owe them something because they provided us with a future. So we owe it to our ancestors to be healthy. Save our children from hyperactivity, and Ritalin, save ourselves from Viagra and all these kind of things that produce psychological damage to us. We owe it to them.
Wow. Are you going to touch on relationships at all? Because I saw that was part of it as well.
Yeah, I'm talking about the tenets of a relationship. What are the variables that put it together? How you structure it? How do you argue properly? How do you get out of an argument? How do you build a relationship? How do you overcome mistrust? How do you overcome adultery? How do you overcome someone who masturbates? How do you overcome these things in a relationship to keep the relationship going or to be much aware to stop it? So I'm going back to the basic tenets of a relationship, to be political, military, economic, spiritual, those things that are components of a relationship. It has to be economic. It has to be military. It has to be spiritual. It has to be social. Those are the things that you build a relationship on. If it's not addressing those issues, it's going to fail.
Wow. I want, again, the two-day seminar is going to be February 19th and February 20th, Brooklyn, New York. If you want to get more information, the number to dial is 718-363-8043. Just curious if we could get a little snippet. Do you have some thoughts, constructive ways that black people can get out of arguments with other black people?
You basically, I just wanted to know that I used to be a marriage counselor and I used to help suicide, I used to help rape, I did all those kind of things you did in psychology, paranoid, schizophrenics, and people that ate their own bowel movements. I used to do that kind of work, you know. So what I'm saying is you ask yourself basically three questions when you're talking to someone. You say, how is what I'm saying benefiting this person? And how is what I'm saying benefiting me? And how is this conversation serving our highest good? When you ask yourself those three things, then that stops arguments and stops a whole lot of things. How is what I'm saying benefiting you? And how is you listening to me say this benefiting me? And how is this conversation serving our highest good, or serving God, or serving Allah, or serving, how is it doing that? If it's not doing that, you need to stop talking.
Wow. Excellent suggestion. I might make that a sound clip. Outstanding suggestion. Justice, do you have some other questions for Dr. Africa?
Yes. When you worked for the military, did you shoot non-white people?
Did I do what?
Did you shoot non-white people?
I wasn't a infantry. I didn't use a gun. I was in psychology. I didn't shoot anybody. I was what they call a whatever. I didn't have a weapon, and it was in my records not to. I didn't have to shoot anybody. I was non-violent. That was in my record. So I didn't shoot anybody. I worked with them. I psychology and as a nurse, Japanese, Chinese, Samoans, white people, black people. I did work them with them as a nurse and as a psychotherapist. And that's what I did. I worked with their children, their wives. That was my job.
To be a herbologist, did you have to get a medical degree or some type of degree?
No, you don't have to get a degree to be a herbalist. Or a degree just means you have a degree of understanding. That's why Europeans give it to you. That means you don't understand the whole subject. You just understand the degree of the subject. And Europeans only understand a degree of a subject, so they give you a degree. But when you're in holistic science, you understand the whole subject. And so you don't want a degree. You want the whole understanding. So I understand the herbs, how they talk, why they have a certain color. Lycopene is red. Xanthine gives you purple, and understanding the purple is related to potassium. So the colors give you a clue as to what the vitamin and mineral content of the plant is, just from reading colors and reading how they grow and reading leaves and the roots. And then I had to read the soil, because certain plants indicate what nutrients are missing in the soil. So understanding from the earth up, because you dance from your feet up and you understand herbs from the soil up. So I got into a whole nother. But the way they teach it in school today is just fluff. I feel sorry for the people taking herbology, really, for black people and white people. I really feel sorry when So they're not learning the whole science. They're just learning a degree of the science.
Do you enjoy learning and understanding health?
I enjoy watching people learn. I mostly teach these days, but I do some treatment, but I enjoy watching people learn. That's a good thing for me. It fuels me, particularly children. That really keeps me going.
Your book title, Melanin, What Makes Black People Black? Can you please give a brief summary what that title means in the simplest vocabulary you can?
Yeah, I wish I did have a simplest vocabulary. Yeah, that's very challenging there. I was talking about melanin, and that's a chemical that makes your skin brown. And I'm saying that that chemical, melanin, makes you think differently, makes children grow at a faster rate, gives you more protection, helps you metabolize food, digest food better. The more melanin you have, the more of that chemical called melanin you have, the better your thought process, the better you're able to digest food, the more civilized you are, the more spiritual you are, and the more psychic you are. It is the way we gauge in a race. And we look at their melanin content, and that's how we classify races, by their melanin content. It's the way we value a human being. It gives you your human value.
When I was doing some literature work, I read about myths of ancient Greece and Rome. Just so children who are listening to this program won't be confused, why do you think white people show and tell myths of ancient Greece and Rome?
That is the only documentation they have of their existence, is to go back to Greece and Rome. Because the Europeans, who you're talking about, the only documentation they have is 30,000 years ago, and there's nothing. They don't have any kind of literary history, no reading, no books, or nothing to prove they are people of value. So they go and steal someone else's history called Greeks and Romans. But that has nothing to do with Europeans. That's something they stole.
Thank you. Go ahead, Gus.
We had a lot of people that dialed in. I wanted to see if we could pick up a couple questions. Is that acceptable, Dr. Africa?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Let's see. Mr. Duff Lee. Mr. Duff Lee, if you have a question for Dr. Africa, your line is open. Mr. Duff Lee, are you there? Your line is open.
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings to Justice, Gus, Dr. Africa. Thank you all for putting the program together today. The first question is directed to Dr. Africa. How would you recommend approaching loved ones who are suffering from different ailments, yet they are very loyal to allopathic treatments? The second question is, how will the bill SB 510 affect holistic medicine as well as natural foods?
People have a right to kill themselves the way they want, you know. So you have relatives that are still into allopathic medicine, and that's fine. You're just trying to be related to them. You're not trying to educate them. So you just treat them as a relative, okay? I'm related to you, and I respect that relationship. But don't try to take them out of allopathic medicine. That's somebody else's job. Get them a DVD or tell them to watch something. Let somebody else do that one. You're just busting your skull for nothing there. I have relatives. They own medicine, drugs, surgery, chemotherapy, and I respect them for that, and I just be a relative to them. But they know what I do, and that's all I can say for that. As far as the Europeans, and they have rules and these controlling vitamins and minerals and herbs and all that sort of thing, that's what they always done. That is nothing new. And they're not going to stop people from taking herbs or going to natural healers. That's not going to happen. That's just something they do to help make more money, and they're going to continue doing that. So I don't even get involved in all their shenanigans anymore. Not at all.
Thank you for the questions, Mr. Duff Lee. Person who called in 2777, last four digits, 2777. Your line is open. Person who called in, last four digits, 2777. Did you have a question? Okay. Person who called in, 9427. Did you have a question? 9427.
Yes, sir. Good evening. How is everyone today?
As well as can be, sir.
Good evening. What's up, Brother Africa? How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Briefly, I want you to discuss with the audience the mystery systems that we had and the 7 degrees, and especially, you know, focus on that last degree, the 7th degree. I can't pronounce it, but I would, you know, be more than happy to spell it to you. So P-R-O-P-H-E-T-A. And
yes,
I also want to comment.
Oh,
probably, yes, sir. And I also want you to discuss with the audience the comment that was, I think it was in the congressional records, about food being used as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, the mystery system was nothing more than an educational system that the African people had. And the Europeans, the Greeks that came in there, didn't have the understanding of it, so they called it a mystery. Sort of like you walking in a chemistry class and...
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes that segment of Dr. Africa. And I have a question, and the question is, people of African descent eating to die? And before I go into that question, I see we have a caller on the line. I'm going to open it up, area code 912. Area code 912, please state your name and where you're calling from, and please give us your question or comment. Area code 912. Peace, brother.
Peace.
What can I do?
Yeah, this is El Azim from Georgia.
Okay.
I wanted to ask Dr. Africa a quick question.
Well, Dr. Africa is on live to you. All right. You have the speakerphone on. Yeah, echoes in the background.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it down.
Okay, what was your question?
Oh, I wanted a quick, informative. I wanted to break down on melanin and why does it make the black man a supreme being?
Okay. Well, like I said, Dr. Africa is not live in the studio. These are seeds that are coming this evening from previous broadcasts that he's done.
I understand. Would you be able to answer that question?
Well, the what you're considering calling melanin, not melanin at all, that's the European term for high concentration of copper in the body, and that is right. That is also constitutes a deep spiritualism. I keep hearing your echo. Could you cut your echo your speakerphone off, sir?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Now, what we're calling melanin, like I said, is high concentrations of carbon in the body, just like you would have an automobile and you have a generator in the automobile. And that generator has what's called carbon brushes inside that spins at 90 revolutions per minute around copper wiring, and that's what generates electricity. You are electric, and your feet are grounded on a magnetic planet. And this high concentration of carbon that we're calling melanin that fits inside the brain, the vibration between that carbon and the gray matter is what generates electricity throughout the body. Sometimes you try to touch something and it'll shock you. That is because you're electric. And it is the same carbon that is put in us to connect us with the actual creator himself, the little still voice that you hear inside of you, that is your creator. He put that in you. And just like he said in his writings that the ancient African have in their possessions that he would never leave you. He's always there. But that is part of what is making us spiritual, and it dates all the way back to the first human being. That's why it is so important for us to procreate among our own selves and among our own kind. And I hope that answered your question, brother.
Yeah, definitely, man. That was peace, man. That was a great answer.
Okay. Well, let me go on to the next caller then.
All right, peace.
Area code 904.
It makes my skin crawl. I'm going to have to go to the bench.
Area code 904. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
No, it ain't. That's what I say. It's called.
Okay, we have a lot of background noise. We're going to go on directly into the next segment, but before we go on to the part about people of African descent eating to die, we're going to deal with a little background information on our Western medicine first, and then we'll go on into that.
When you concentrate and isolate a substance, you have by definition a drug. And the liver does not know a prescription drug from an illegal drug. That's some social term. The liver does not know a legal drug from a legal drug. It doesn't know that. You can call it what you want. The liver doesn't know that. A drug is a drug to the liver. If it's isolated and concentrated, it's a drug. You can call it honey. Honey is sugar. Honey is a social name for sugar. It causes the same problem as white sugar. Just slower. Just slower. Dehydrates your system, pulls the moisture out of your veins and arteries, causes them to get hard, causes them to collect more waste, fires off your sympathetic nervous system, causes a stress reaction. Then you get all this stress in your system, lose the flexibility of your veins and arteries, and the cholesterol dumps out to make them flexible again. You think you have a cholesterol problem, and you don't. Cholesterol is coming in defense of the body. It's not the cause, it's a symptom. That's why you get into these different branches of medicine. You got the symptom treating people, and you got the cause treating people. There's not one form of medicine in the world. Let me awaken you to this issue. The Indian people have a whole other system of medicine, Ayurveda. The African people have another system of medicine. The Europeans have a system of medicine. But we only taught one type of medicine. Anybody doesn't practice that, they're wrong. Let me awaken you to the fact here. There's not one type of biology. The African system of biology is different from the European system of biology. But if you use the African system of biology, you're not scientific. Doesn't that sound like something wrong with this picture here? There's not one type of chemistry. Whoever told you that lied? There's another way of doing chemistry. There's the European way, there's the African way, there's other ways to do chemistry, there's other ways to talk. There's more than one language in the world. There's more than one way to dance. There's more than one way to sing. What makes you think there's only one type of chemistry in the world, one type of biology? Whoever told you that, they lie. But there's another approach to chemistry. I use another type. I use European chemistry, no big deal. It's just fragmented chemistry. You just isolate a substance, you test it. That's all you have to do. You say, okay, I want to show you something scientific. So I'm going to test vitamin C. I'm going to take the vitamin C out of the orange and test it. And now I'll show you all the benefits of vitamin C. Fine. But vitamin C does not come isolated in nature. If you find vitamin C, you will always find it with other vitamins and other minerals. Vitamin C is never isolated in nature. What you're testing is a drug called vitamin C. That's isolation, fragmentation science. That's what that is. Because you can never find vitamin C isolated in nature by itself, proving wrong. Walk me out there to what God made and show me this thing called vitamin C. Show me. Dealing with a fantasy science.
Give me a break.
This you can prove to yourself. Show me vitamin C by itself. Show me. And you may find it in an orange, you may find it in cherry, but you will never find it by itself. So what are they testing? They tell you what they're testing. Ascorbic acid. And ascorbic acid is not vitamin C. It's a part of vitamin C.
but it's not vitamin C. That's why they put on the label of your vitamin ascorbic acid, because it is not vitamin C. And you concentrate.
Okay. That was the difference between what is being sold in the drugstores. You go inside a drugstore, you have to understand the basic equation of when you isolate and concentrate a substance, it is a drug. It is not natural. It does not belong in the human body. If an orange or tangerine or grapefruit contains vitamin C, it is within that fruit. It is all natural. It is put in there among other nutrients that is natural and belong inside the fruit. But when you take vitamin C and you do an artificial process, or you separate it and isolate it, it is a drug, and you put it in a bottle in pure form and put it on a shelf inside a store, you are selling something that is unnatural and it does not belong inside the human body. Do you understand that equation? Now, we're going directly into the next three feeds by Dr. Lila Africa, and he's asking the question, are people of African descent eating to die? These are very, very short clips, and then we'll go ahead on and go into the final stages of this broadcast.
And your passion is healthcare, and predominantly with an emphasis on what is good for us as African American people. I'd like if we could start briefly, just tell us a little bit about your passion, what led you to that, and why you feel qualified to share with us the information that should make a difference in our lives.
Well, essentially, I started changing my health in 1970 and started reading books about health and going to seminars and lectures. And I noticed they never mentioned black people or Africa in any way when they talked about nutrition and health. And it kind of irritated me. I said, we must have contributed something. I mean, we built the pyramids. We did this. We must know something about eating. And that set me on a journey of researching. And I used to collect just information. So I sent and see a paragraph there about the origins of health.
Mm-hmm.
And the ancient medical books, the Ibis Papyrus, the Moscow Papyrus. That book is quoted directly by Hippocrates, the Moscow Papyrus. And I found out that we were the ones who started nutrition. It comes from an Egyptian word, mina, which we get the word menu from. So the whole concept of nutrition, especially natural medicine and natural foods, comes from Africa. And I found that out and had the documentation when they examined the fossil remains in the pyramids, and
mm-hmm.
so what they had in the mummy's stomach was whole grains, no bleached white flour, no white sugar, no milk. And I said, oh, we were into natural foods. And that started me on this journey to get the information out to other people.
So Dr. Africa, how would you start that if I were to ask you to take us back to where we came from, where we used to be, and even where you think we're headed? Is it as grim as I think it may be? Is the past as wonderful for us health-wise as most of us think it may have been? Where would we be? Where have we been?
Well, the examination of the mummies indicated we were 99% cavity-free. Even when we were 70, 80, and 90 years old, we were cavity-free. So the examination of the mummies itself indicates that we were healthy people, and they found sprouting containers in the pyramids, and the herbal formulas, over 300 different herbal formulas taken out of Tutankhamun's coffin, as they call it, when excavated his grave.
Mm-hmm.
Had this, not only the herbal combination, but the schedule of how to take it, which you call prescriptions today, was taken out of his remains. So we have the evidence that we were very healthy, knew about herbal medicine. We had herbal farms, which the Europeans call orchards. And I found out that people in control of it, Tet and other people, and how they designed the orchards to indicate certain energy fields, which people call feng shui today. So that got me into how to arrange the house using the African system based on our herbal system. So we were very healthy until we were introduced to what we call a starch and fats in a diet.
Okay. Now, before we go into the next plug, I want to go ahead and finish delivering what I delivered in the first place. It says here in this book, African Holistic Health by Dr. Lila O. Africa, it says, in the introduction, the European physicians use their physical senses as their barometer for acquiring information that became the foundation upon which all diagnoses and prescriptions were based. Dr. Africa has successfully and accurately explained in this book, African Holistic Health, the neglect of the European medical system to teach its practitioners how to develop their high senses to assist in gaining a deeper understanding of and an accurate alignment with nature. This lack of alignment and understanding of the profoundness of nature stimulated the practitioners of the European medical arts to create persuado technologies such as radios, televisions, X-ray machines, laser detection and projection devices to assist in healing themselves. The failure of the Europeans to understand the subtleties of light, which is the life force energy, has caused much suffering and death among people throughout the world. Before the occurrence of the decline of the consciousness of the African healer, the ancestral teachers of the African healing art understood and taught its practitioners that all things in nature were related. All matter in nature originated from the one divine source. All creation was related and similar, but each living organism was original and unique. All life and matter was created for a specific purpose and for a specific divine reason. Now, this is very, very important for us to understand because this marks the difference between what we are experiencing today in the medical profession versus what we should be participating in based on the teachings of our own ancestors and their natural techniques and healing purposes. What we are doing is, as soon as we get an ailment, we are running to the doctor and we are dealing with someone who does not have an accurate and adequate understanding of what it takes to deal with or heal people of African descent. Our healing techniques are all natural and they should be regarded as such always. The first thing that we should do is rely on the teachings of our own ancestors prior to dealing with anything else. Now, going directly into the next stanza, so please stand by.
Blind folks are classified by the Europeans as number 6 on the human scale, and they classify themselves as number 1 on the human scale, which means they have the least amount of vitamins and minerals in their system. The unfortunate part about that is that all the lab values are set based on the Europeans being normal. And that causes what we call medical racism. This melanin is known as a civilizing chemical. The more melanin you have, the more human you are. The more melanin you have, the more psychic you are. The more melanin you have, the more spiritual you are. Melanin gives black children the faster in growth and development than any race. And black baby, whose mother was breastfed and raised on what you call natural food today, and the father was breastfed and raised on what you call natural food today, and they conceive a child, the baby, once it's born, can sit up erect, look its mother and father in the eyes, knows its mother's name and father's name, remembers the first word its mother said to them, remembers the first word its father said to them, remembers the color of the crib, remembers the color of the sheets, remembers the color of that room, remember what they did when they were 1 year old, 2 years old, who they met when they were 3,
a normal child remembers that. So my question to you is, are you normal? No. You were made dysfunctional, so you have to overcome your dysfunctionality. The greatest challenge you have in your life is to overcome your dysfunctionality. That's all. Now, with this understanding of melanin, we know that melanin adapts to environment. It's an adaptation kind of chemical, because you interact with your environment. It's a simple process. You interact with your environment, so your environment can change your genes because of the melanin, because it is a chemical change. So every major change on this planet happened because of people with the highest melanin content. We invented the wheel. We invented the chariot. That's why those railroad tracks that the tube runs on are that small distance, because that distance was between the wheels of the chariots in Africa, which made the little roads in the street. And then they built the cars that fit in those little grids on the street. And then when they built the train, they made it fit that width. But that width of those railroad tracks and that tube comes from Africa. The behavior modification process that they put you through, call it states and projects, was first done on the rats by a man called B.F. Skinner. Put the rats in a box, separated them by age. We call it age-grade education. That's who invented the process of how to separate a people by dividing up the ages in schooling them. Before then, there was a one-room schoolhouse. Now they have everyone that's 8 years old in the same room. And we call that segmentation and division of unity amongst the people. It's called age-grade education, introduced in 1922 by a Jew, for your information. It causes people to cling to immature thoughts forever, so they say. The other system they use to train you is called the rote learning system, where you repeat something over and over again. It was first done with rabbits. And it caused you to diminish your thinking capacity. All of this is part of slavery, my brothers and sisters. All I'm trying to say is you're training your children to think like a rabbit and act like a rat. That's all. Better known as slavery, the social engineering of a people. We only touched each other when we were breeding during slavery. We touched each other for breeding, and after breeding, we touched the cane, we touched the rice, we touched the cotton. But we never touched each other just as human beings. Just as a friendly gesture to be, I'm a human being, you're a human being, I'm going to give you a hug. If you hug somebody now, you got to fight or screw them or get screwed.
Okay. That was some very, very powerful information, some very good underlining information that we definitely need to understand as people of African descent inside this country. And what he is saying to you is that we are victims of a social conditioning that has affected our lives from every conceivable angle, including our health. And I thought this was vital information that needed to be gotten out. I see that we have another hand raised. And I'm going to open up the line and check area code 904. Area code 904, could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from? Area code 904. Okay, we seem to have some continuous chaos there. So I'm going to go on with what I was saying here. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to deal with something else. And I'm going to put this in conjunction with what we are talking about, but I'm going to deal with a psychological effect, because remember earlier in the broadcast, I made mention of the fact to the young caller that was calling in that what we have to do is understand our own physical makeup and our own kind, our own components of ourselves. And all throughout ancient Kemet, there was only one sin. Just like you would have churches in your city today, there's a sign out in front of your church that tells you the name of the church, what time Sunday school starts, and all about the church. But there was just one sin in ancient Kemet, and that sin was, man, know thyself. And so that means you are different. Everybody on the planet is different. And we have to begin to start understanding ourselves as far as the condition is concerned. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to a different brother, and he's going to explain a whole nother psychological area in the conditioning process that's been fostered upon us inside the United States of America. Now, it's very, very important at this moment for us to pay attention to what this brother has to say involving our children.
Is anybody listening? I wonder, can you hear me? A voice in the wilderness. I wonder, can you see me? Trouble is on the land. Every man against the...
Shalom, my name is Brother Dawah Bain Israel, and I am the host of the Yah Israel Hour. And the title of this show today is going to be What's Going On. We're going to be talking about the situation in the schools, what's going on with our children. I have a brother here, a guest, who flew in all the way from Philly, Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson. He's a nationally known psychologist. He's here with me today. I want to welcome the brother.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here in Chicago with you.
Appreciate it, brother. So this is a live call-in show. So the number that we could be reached at is 312-738-1845. 312-738-1845. So I want the doc, without further ado, I want the doc to go ahead and tell a little bit about himself.
I am a nationally certified school psychologist, and my job is to decide which children goes into special education. School psychology is a certain type of psychology. When most people think of psychology, they think of clinical psychology, which we'll probably talk about a little bit as we go into the ADHD and the psychotropic drug movement against black boys. But a school psychologist is unique because we work in the schools, and we don't primarily do therapy, although many of us are trained to. Our job is to decide who has the learning disability, who is retarded, who is emotionally disturbed, who needs special education. So it is special ed law that basically provides a job for school psychologists. And special education has a unique history that grows out of the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education decision. In 1954, when the Supreme Court said that race no longer could be used as a factor in education, white supremacy had to come up with a new strategy to resegregate black from white. So 21 years later,
okay. Now, I wanted to play that little small clip there so that you will understand that not only is we being attacked health-wise, but we also have, and not only are we dealing with the food industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, but we're also dealing with other areas within the confines of the United States of America. You see, we have to understand that, number one, we have a brain inside our bodies, and our bodies have to be healthy. But if you are constantly under attack from all of these different areas, it has a tendency to break down your health. But in order for you to begin the healing process or be able to defend yourself, you have to become aware of what's going on and where the attacks are coming from, who's doing the attacks, what type of attack is it, and we get all of this information, then we're able to successfully know what it is that we have to do to maintain optimum health of the body, which contains the brain inside of it that we carry around with us every day. And not only that, the soul and the spirit. So the more information that we get, the more able we are to aid ourselves. I would like to say I'm Tahaka Monael Bay, and you're listening to Moorish Talk Live 100. And for those of you who are just tuning in, we're offering information that could help you in your life in regards to your mortgage, bill collectors, and everything else. I'll offer these free reports. If you contact me at tahaka99@yahoo.com, I'll send this to you as a free attachment. It doesn't cost you anything. Just send me a quick note. Say, just Tahaka, let me have that information on your broadcast, and I'll send it right on to you. Also, we've created one of the most comprehensive libraries inside the United States, and the reason why we created that is to give people of African descent a power base, a base of resources that they can draw from that contains information on pretty much every phase of their life, your health, your brain, your culture, your story, law, your sovereignty, your nationality, your government, video, articles, from every conceivable angle. And we constantly add new information to this library, just like you would go in any other library inside of this country. And we put that together for you to aid you so that you can be successful in solving the overall problems and conditions that we are suffering from inside the United States of America. Okay? Now, we're going to go on to one part. We're going to do this right here over one more time.
Stuck at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
One more time. Just bear with me. One more time. Okay, because this is something that we really have to understand. And before I give you this information, I'm going to explain something to you. When we were created on the planet, we were created just like you go to a fruit tree and pick a piece of fruit from a tree, from a natural piece of fruit. And this piece of fruit has a seed inside of it. And this seed is placed there because this fruit is supposed to reproduce itself after its own kind. Now, if the fruit is reproducing itself after its own kind, then we have a continuation and a continuity of that particular fruit as long as it follows the natural laws of nature that governs it. The fruit does not have a seed in it by accident. It is placed there for a specific reason. It is a specific fruit that is supposed to do a specific thing and reproduce after its own kind. Now, the fruit, the natural fruit itself, goes all the way back to the beginning of time, and it has remained consistent all the way up until this current day, unless somebody has interfered with the natural process of that fruit. The apple reproduces itself after its own kind. The orange reproduces itself after its own kind. The natural peach reproduces itself after its own kind. The natural watermelon reproduces itself after its own kind, and it has its own seed placed in it to make sure and ensure that the continuity of the unbroken continuity continues. Now, the churches of the day talk about eternal life. But what we have to understand as people of African descent is that, hold on one second. When we talk about eternal life, we have to understand that the first man and woman that was created on the planet has their seeds in them. The first man has the seed and the woman has the egg. And they reproduce themselves after their own kind. Now we're going straight into the next stage of the broadcast.
Peace, Black Power. We got the great doctor and brother Umar Johnson up here. I want to thank Rob Simeon and Tassetti Studios for blessing us with this brother up here. I got one question for you, brother, because this seems to be an epidemic that's running rampant up here in Syracuse, New York. Why do black men, not black men, Negro men, date white women?
Very good question. One thing we have to understand when we talk about interracial relationship is we have to study the self-hatred that the black man has for himself. We often hear the counter-argument that black men marry white women because they fell in love with them. It was a random act of romance. That's not true. When you look below the surface, you will find that 98% of all interracial marriages in America are middle-class to upper-class black men and middle-class to lower-class white women. You will find that the white woman tends to gain socially and economically through her marriage with the black man, and the black man doesn't gain anything except marriage to a white woman. Rarely will you ever find a rich white woman marrying a poor black man. So this has nothing to do with love, because if it was random acts of romance, then you would find rich white women with poor black men. You never see that. You only see working class or middle class black men with white women who are not of the same social stature. Frantz Fanon, black psychiatrist who wrote the book Black Skin, White Mask, he dealt eloquently with this issue. Although he himself was married to a white woman, he did admit that black men marry white women because they want acceptance from the white race. A black man who marries a white woman doesn't believe that a black woman is good enough for him. He has internalized the racist white supremacist views that Europeans have of African people. And as far as he's concerned, a black woman can't do anything but shine his shoes. He believes that he would be better suited with a white woman because by being with the white woman, his inferiority complex in the presence of the white man is somehow dainted, because now he has a white woman just like the white man has a white woman. So most black men who marry white women have low self-esteem. And the reason they marry the white woman is because they believe that by marrying her, they will feel a little bit more equal to white men. But here's the issue, and I don't say this to be disrespectful. I say it because it's the truth. The white women who black men marry, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the white women who black men marry are the white women that no other white man wanted. And this is something that no one wants to deal with. If a white woman could have a white man who had the money of the black man she married to, then she would be with the white man. No white woman is going to marry Tiger Woods if she can have Donald Trump, okay? She's not going to marry any black man if she can have a white man who's in a much better place financially. They tend to get the white women that other white men didn't want. And I don't say that to be disrespectful. It's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a situation where a lot of black women are now dating white men. Again, you are only marrying the white men that other white women didn't want. And we have to recognize this. There's no white man that's going to marry a black woman if he could have married someone with the same education and income-earning potential from his own racial stock. Why we have to stop doing this is because when you bring a biracial child into the world, who I do consider to be African, being a Garveyite, but there are some contradictions within them because they belong to two races who are at opposite ends of the racial spectrum. And so when you have a mother who's black and a father who's white, or a father who's black and a mother who's white, that puts you at a position of cognitive dissonance. You don't really know where you stand. Now, your white relatives will never accept you as European, but you don't feel that you quite fit in with your black ones, and a lot of times our biracial brothers and sisters are picked on, humiliated, they're isolated. So to cut down on all of this nonsense, we got to have black men marrying black women and black women marrying black men. There is no benefit to African people by having so many of our black men, those who are most educated, those who are most financially stable, to be going outside of the race. It is nothing more than a example of self-hatred. Let me say this in closing. Black men marry outside of their race more than the men of every other race put together. Black men marry white women more than Chinese men, white men, Asian men, Indian men marry black women. We are the only man in this country who is more willing to marry outside of his race than in his race. Certainly you will see Chinese men, you will see white men, you will see East Indian men marry outside of their race, but not to the extent that black men do it. In 1967, there was a Supreme Court case called Loving versus Virginia. In Loving versus Virginia, a white man sued all the way up to the United States Supreme Court for a right to marry a black woman. And as a result of that, the Supreme Court eliminated all anti-miscegenation laws in the country. From 1967 to 2011, from 1967, when the Supreme Court struck down anti-miscegenation law, to today, black men have outpaced the men of every other race in their desire to marry women who are not African. It is nothing more than another case of self-hatred.
Beautiful. And I just want to add just one thing to that. As somebody who is a half-breed, a dignified bastard.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I played that last plug over again from our previous broadcast is I want you to understand that just like we're dealing with the social conditions and the attack against people of African descent in the medical profession, this too is a result of what is going on inside the this country in regards to people that are called Negro, blacks, and colored, African-Americans, Afro-Americans, and whatever it is that you call yourself. We are victims of a social conditioning. We are victims of the medical profession, and we have the brain inside the human body. And as long as we have the brain inside the human body, the body is going to carry that brain around. And whatever we allow to come inside that brain is going to affect how we live. And all of these things takes its toll on us health-wise. And you just heard the brother, what he was saying about us marrying others that are not our kind, reproducing with others that are not our kind. What is happening in this situation is something that is being fostered on us from the outside, and we'll be beginning to believe, and we have believed that this is something that is normal. Well, I'm here to tell you that it is not normal. The condition is not normal, and we're going to have to go back and embrace our own culture, our own story, and fall in love with our own self and put our own selves first, just like every other nation on the earth. The Chinese restaurants are filled with people of African descent. And the reason why is because the Chinese come to this country, and the Japanese and the Mexicans and the Koreans and the Greeks, and they open up their own restaurants. But what we have not paid attention to is the fact that these people are connected to their culture. They have embraced their culture, and as far as they're concerned, their culture comes first and everybody else comes second. So what we are trying to do is through our mental conditioning by this society, especially with this foundation rooted and grounded in slavery, is we believe that we should love everybody. Well, before you go out, and I always use this equation, before you go out and save the world, have you made up your bed yet? Before you embrace everybody else, have you fallen in love with your own self? Have you embraced your own culture? Have you decided and said in your own mind and verbally out loud that it is you and your people that come first and everybody else comes second? And until we understand this concept, and when we understand that when we go into a Mexican restaurant, they're selling Mexican food. Now, common sense tells me that if I'm a Mexican, and I own a restaurant, a hair salon, a nail salon, and I move into an all black community, then all the hair and all the food and all the nails are going to be black for black people, what they normally have on their hair naturally. But that is not the case. when you go inside a Chinese restaurant, everything on the menu is Chinese because they could care less what you want. They're connected to their culture. You either take it or leave it. But where we are making the mistake is we are going in there and patronizing their businesses, and they're taking their money, our money, hard-earned money that we work for, and taking it out of our community and leaving our community in shambles. The same thing with the health stores. We're going and we're putting somebody else's hair on our head. They're taking the money out of our community and sending it to their country and to their relatives, and they're living fine, nice lifestyles, and we're working on 9 to 5s every day and struggling, but we haven't understood that the social conditioning that's affecting our people is something that we need to address. We need to deal with it. And it all plays an important part on our health. And this is why I'm bringing this information out. This is why I'm posting the last broadcast on there about not dealing with the seed that of our own kind. And see, we come first. And the only way that we are going to survive these particular attacks that are in place, and the attacks are coming from 9 points, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. In order for us to survive this thing, we are going to have to come into the knowledge of self. We are going to have to embrace ourselves. We are going to have to learn everything it is to know about ourselves, our bodies, our health, and what's aboriginal and what's indigenous to us. Now, for those of you who don't know what's indigenous to people of African descent, I can tell you it is all natural foods, fruits, vegetables, nuts, legumes, and beans. That is our food, not noodles, not sushi, not tacos, not Whoppers, not McDonald's fries. Not, none of this stuff is in aboriginal and indigenous to us. And we have always grown our own food. And I hope that you're understanding what I'm trying to tell you. I don't want to preach to you, but I'm trying to get you to understand some things. Everybody on earth embraces their own self and their own culture but us. We're out trying to embrace and trying to embrace everybody first but us. We're patronizing everybody but us. We are taking our hard-earned money and we're going to everybody else and giving it to them but us. We're going to have to deal with us, and it is taking a toll on our health because we are under attack from the medical profession and the pharmaceutical industry, and we are under attack from the food industry as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been your host, Sahaka Armana L. Bay, and you've been listening to Morris Talk Live 100. And until next week.
To me.